The melodious sounds of one of the most popular groups of all time. Talking about the Cordettes. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I have with me on the phone two of the members of the Cordettes, namely Lynn Evans and Margie Needham. Are you there, girls?
Yes, this is Lynn.
This is Margie.
What a delight, what a pleasure, what an honor it is to do this one-hour show with you. I have admired your music for, I don't want to say how long, because it'll make us all seem older. Nonetheless, your music sounds as good today as it did back when you recorded these songs.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. The first question I have to ask is, who is the voice of Mr. Sandman? Now, we heard him 8 times there, because I wanted to give him a little bit of the spotlight. On the actual recording, you only hear him once. Who is he?
That was Archie Blyer, who was our musical director.
And he was also the owner of Cadence Records.
Cadence Records, that's correct.
And Mr. Sandman was on Cadence Records.
And Mr. Sandman was only the second one we ever did with musical accompaniment.
And the first one you did with musical accompaniment happens to be a song called True Love Goes On and On. Before we get to that, just want to do a little bit of background, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
The group organized in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Is that right, Margie?
Yes, it is. Yes.
And it was around 1946, somewhere around that time.
Yes.
Okay, and it was the mid-40s. The original members of the Cordettes were Janet Ertel. She eventually married Archie Blyer, who we just mentioned. Carol Bushman, who was her sister-in-law. Dorothy Schwartz and Ginny Osborne. And in 1952, you, Lynn.
Yes.
I'm calling on you. Raise your hand, Lynn. Okay. You replaced Dorothy.
Yes, that's correct.
And in 1953, this is my book report, by the way. I'm just making sure I did all this research. In 1953, Margie, raise your hand, Margie. Okay.
Yes.
You replaced Ginny.
That's correct.
However, Ginny eventually did return to the group.
Yes.
Your style of music is known as barbershop harmony. And right after we play this first record, I'm going to ask you, Margie, to tell us exactly what barbershop harmony is.
Okay.
As far as all the voices are concerned. What was the year for True Love Goes On and On?
That was in 1954.
Was this your first recording on Cadence? I know.
Yes.
it was the first one that you did with accompaniment.
Correct.
How much accompaniment was there? How many instruments were on these records, like that one, for example? Do you remember?
Well, it depended on the song, but Archie usually had a full orchestra for us.
And it complemented your voices.
Mm-hmm. But usually the voices were predominant.
Well, that was the whole idea of the sound. Your voices had to be up front. This recording was your first record on Cadence, and it was called True Love Goes On and On. Ladies and gentlemen, I present the Cordettes.
True love goes on and on, goes on and on, goes on and on. My darling, I'll always love you. Darling, I'll always love you. Darling, I'll always love you. The white snow of Christmas will melt away. The darkness of evening will end. Time will wither the strongest tree, but nothing will change you and me. For true love goes on and on, our love will be ever known. Mountain will tumble down. The world may even stop spinning round. A star may fall into the deep blue sea, but that nothing will change you and me. For true love goes on, and love, our love will be ever known. The leaves will desert the vine, and ocean may someday a desert be, but nothing will change you and me. For true love goes on and on, our love will be ever new.
On the Chordettes, I'm Ronnie Allen talking to Lynn Evans and Margie Needham. And there's one additional member who's not on this show tonight, and her name is Carol Bushman.
That's correct.
And we should acknowledge at some point, so we might as well do it here, that sadly Janet Ertel and Ginny Osborne are no longer with us.
No.
The group started out around 1946, and today people still talking about the Chordettes. And I know there's an interesting story about this particular song that I just played, True Love Goes On, and one of you want to tell this and identify yourself, please.
I'm Lynn, and I was riding in the car when the Challenger went up and exploded, and just at that moment, one of the disc jockeys on the car radio played True Love Goes On, and because of the words of the song, it just touched me so, because true love, no matter what, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
It's eternal.
Yes.
And having recorded that song, it had to be kind of a special emotional feeling for you, even more so than another person here.
Yeah, well, it must have felt so. I mean, hardly anybody played that song, but when the disc jockey played it, he must have felt that was an appropriate time to play it. So it was very touching.
Margie, I'd like to ask you to explain barbershop harmony. My understanding is that there are four voices.
Yes, the four voices. The part that sings the melody is really the second voice. There is a harmonizing voice above that, which they call a tenor. And the part that sings the melody, which is the second voice, is called the lead. And then there's the baritone below that and the bass below that to make up the chord that the four voices sing. The lead or the melody singer is usually the second sounding voice in the range of voices.
In the group that did Mr. Sandman, and that particular arrangement of your four voices, what did you do?
I sang the tenor. I was the highest voice. And Lynn sang the lead, second voice, and Carol was the third lower voice.
Which is baritone?
Yes.
Janet Ertel was the bass singer?
Yes.
Now, the name Chordettes, I'm just going to take a wild stab in the dark here. When you talk about barbershop quartets, you talk about singing different portions of chords, and etz, E-T-T-E-S, is a female suffix, so you take the chord and the etz, and you get chordettes.
You're so clever.
You're going to tell me I'm right? Is that how you got it?
You get A+.
Thank you, teacher. And who came up with the name?
Ginny. Ginny's dad was the president of the barbershop society at that time, and there was music around the house, and Ginny thought, well, why can't girls do that? And she took the music and got the group together, and they ended up singing for a lot of advertising people. Her father was very involved in business and knew a lot of people in advertising. So they started out, and one thing led to a very fancy social party in Newport Beach and also in Rhode Island. And the next thing you know, they were on the Godfrey Talent Scout Show.
1949, I believe.
Yes.
Of course, Cadence Records wasn't even a glint in Archie Blyer's eye at that point in time. The group was with Columbia Records. Lynn, since you joined in 1952, you were on The Godfrey Show as a regular, right?
Yes.
Margie, were you on The Godfrey Show too?
No, I was not. The Quartets left in March of 53, and I joined them July of 53.
That was shortly after Julius LaRosa left as well.
Yes.
The number one hit single, Mr. Sandman, is one of the most popular pop music records of all time. We use the term pop because actually it predated what we call the rock era. It was recorded in late 1954, and it peaked on the chart in 1955.
Sold over, yes, into 55.
It was a huge record. What many people don't know about Mr. Sandman is the beginning portion of it is not just one of you singing. In fact, when you hear the bump, 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 those bums, each of you are doing different bums.
Yes, well, it starts out with Janet singing the lowest note of the bum, and then then Carol takes a note, and then Lynn takes a note of the chord, and I do the last two notes of that chord, the bell chord. Each time I do the last two notes of the bell chord.
No.
We got to identify this voice here. This is Walter. Walter, are you
Sorry.
There?
She's not quite right about that.
Okay.
Oh.
Walter is Margie's husband and was also the Quartet's arranger?
Barbershop arranger.
Barbershop arranger, Walter?
Yeah. She said the last two notes of the chord. Actually, the first note she sings is the last note of the first chord, and the second note is the top note of the second chord.
Well, that's getting too technical, Walter. All I know is I sing two notes before Janet comes in again. So.
Yeah, you sing the first note of the song.
It's like 3-1-1, 3-1-1, you know, up and down.
I hope everybody out there is listening because there's going to be a surprise quiz in about 15 minutes, so I hope you're taking copious notes. Janet Ertel sings the first bum, and then who does bum bum right after Janet's initial bum?
Well, first Janet sings the note, then Carol sings the next note.
Then I sing the next note.
Okay. And the next two notes, I sing.
Okay. Does it go back to Janet then?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I think I got it figured out. Let's listen to the record now. This one is a classic. And Archie Blyer is the voice of Mr. Sandman.
Bum, 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 Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Bum, 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 bum.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Bum, 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 bum.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
Bum, 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 bum.
Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
Bum, 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 bum.
Don't have nobody to call my own.
Bum, 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 bum.
Please turn on your magic beam. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him the word that I'm not a rover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam. Oh, Mr. Sandman.
Yes?
Bring us a dream. Give him a pair of eyes with a come hither gleam. Give him a lonely heart like Pagliacci. And lots of wavy hair like Liberace. Mr. Sandman, someone to hold.
Someone to hold.
Would be so peachy before we're too old. So please turn on your magic beam.
Mr. Sandman, the Quartets, with knee playing by Archie Blyer?
Yes. The rhythm that you hear in the beginning there is actually Archie slapping his knees. And that makes the rhythm sound that you hear.
I wonder how much musical training he had to be able to do that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a wonderful musician and an extremely well-known arranger for big bands.
Tapping his knees.
Yes.
I cannot tap as good. The only thing I could do really good is this. You know what that is?
That's pop. It's the wrong song.
Oh, that's right. It's the wrong song. That's right. We'll get to the pop later on. That could not have been an easy session. You probably had to go back and do it just a few times.
No, it was not. We were there, I guess, two or three times in the morning.
I seem to recall that we had three sessions. We had to go back three times.
I think so. And then, of course, you could splice back then. So that's why I said there were lots of bell cords on the floor.
What exactly is a bell cord? I guess I didn't ask that.
A bell cord is when each note of the chord is sung separately before you go to the next note of the chord. Just what you hear us singing in Mr. Sandman, that's called a bell cord.
And back in those days, you didn't have generally recordings of tracks. In other words, the orchestra didn't come in, cut a track, and then leave, and then the vocalist came in. You did it all at once, right?
Oh, absolutely. Archie was in the control room, and all the orchestra, or however many pieces or instruments we had, they were there for the whole session as well. Because True Love didn't make a lot of noise, we recorded Sandman, and then we were out in Vegas, and we were doing, was that at the Thunderbird then, Margie?
Yes, the Thunderbird
and
Hotel.
We were at the Thunderbird, and Archie and Janet kept calling back and forth, and Archie kept saying, "You've got a hit all over the place." Well, we didn't understand what kind of hit. I mean, so maybe it's a little popular, but we got back, and that's all you heard. You couldn't turn on the radio unless you heard that song.
That's crazy.
I don't know if you remember Jazzbo Collins.
Yeah, the great disc jockey, sure.
He played it 32 times in a row.
Oh, my
the
goodness.
The program manager called him and said, "If you play that one more time, you're fired." And he did, and he was fired.
But you offered him a job with the Corvettes, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think he ended up in California.
This is Ronnie Allen talking with Lynn and Margie. We move to a song called Eddie My Love. Something a little bit unusual about this recording, it featured the bass singer as the lead singer.
That's right.
That was Janet Ertel.
Yes.
Eddie My Love is a song that was on the chart by a couple of other groups. The Teen Queens had a hit version of it, and the Fontaine Sisters had a hit version of it. And your version did very, very well as well.
That was a period when other singers were doing the oh kind of sound, you know? So when it started out, I'm the one that was singing the little melody, Eddie My Love, and I had to try to get that oh sound to begin with.
Eddie My Love, I love you so much. Eddie My Love, I love you so much. I love you so, how I've wanted for you. You'll never know. Please, Eddie, don't make me wait too long. Oh, Eddie, Eddie, I love you so. Eddie, please write just one line. Tell me your love is still only mine. Please, Eddie, don't make me wait too long. You left me last September. Since that time I've been so. Oh, Eddie, Eddie.
She had a wonderful voice.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Ertel, Eddie, my love. If I don't mention this now, I may forget later. You were inducted into the Vocal Group Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And that's a tremendous honor.
Yes, it was. That was 2001.
Right.
And that was a very nice occasion. And that was also the last time we were with Ginny.
She was at the induction ceremony?
Yes, she was. And then after that, she became very ill.
Going to go to a song now called Born to Be With You. This one was written by a gentleman named Don Robertson, who had his own hit recording called The Happy Whistler. And there's whistling on Born to Be With You, but I have a funny feeling it wasn't Don Robertson doing that whistling.
No, it wasn't.
But we don't know who it was.
I don't know.
It's a big unanswered question. Don't know who the phantom whistler was.
No.
But
maybe
some,
you'll get a phone call.
Maybe. Come on, anybody. The phone number here is... No, we're not going to do that. I'm recording the show. Nobody's going to be able to phone in. But
I have to tell you, Ronnie, that when we went on the road and performed that on our various shows, I ended up doing the whistling. I learned to do that whistling part and would whistle. Remember that, Lynn?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. You remember a lot of things that I don't.
Was that difficult? I mean, did you really have to just practice this for hours to be able to get
it? Well, I didn't have to practice for hours, but I had to make sure that my whistle was wet.
I'll tell you what, you know, when you want to improve your whistling, just eat a few crackers. That'll do the trick. Not. There's an interesting story about this. It was something about a commercial. Do you tell me off the air?
Yes, the Volkswagen people used Born to Be With You in a commercial that they did in United Kingdom, and people were so taken with the song, they asked who the group was, and wanted to get the recording, so they reissued the recording of Born to Be With You, which sold a lot of records over in the United Kingdom.
And this record was your third most successful as far as the record chart was concerned. It got to number 5 in 1956, Born to Be With You.
Born to be with you. Food.
rhythmic background. I'm trying to find the words to describe it, and I cannot, but there's something very unusual about that particular recording, which is different from all of your others. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Archie was incredible. Now, he was the producer on all of your records.
Yes, he did all the arrangements.
And the
material.
And the arrangements. So he wore a lot of hats, and he was also Mr. Sandman.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he get a special royalty check for himself just for being Mr. Sandman?
I think he got his slice.
as a recording artist. He put together the orchestra as well?
The musicians. Together. He knew the musicians. He got them together, but it wasn't his band per se.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am just so delighted to be talking with Lynn and Margie of the Cordettes. This interview being done exclusively for a website called www.jerseygirlssing.com. I'm going to repeat that. JerseyGirlsSing.com, and the two Jersey girls are Denise Ferry and Bernadette Carroll. Please visit my radio page, www.jerseygirlssing.com, and you'll be able to listen to this interview anytime you want, as well as any of my previous radio interview shows. I'm going to flip that record over. Born to Be With You was the big hit, but Love Never Changes is kind of special, and one of you told me a little bit about that.
You'll hear the bell chords, because it's full of bell chords. You were asking about that. It's just a very, very pretty thing.
Love never changes as time marches on. Love never changes, it's there with each dawn.
Once in a lifetime it comes your way.
Deep in your heart it is there. Filled with devotion, your life is complete. Filled with emotion and memories so sweet.
Life is a song and your dreams all come true.
This love that I feel, dear, is love that is real, dear.
Chords are, and that is such a beautiful song. Love Never Changes. That could have been an A-side too, in my opinion, Lynn.
Thank you very much.
I love that song. We're going to move to a song which had a bit of a controversy associated with it. It's called Lay Down Your Arms.
Well, I think there was a skirmish going on then, and I can't remember if it was the Korean War, but there was something that was going on, and they didn't want it to be played on the air because the title, Lay Down Your Arms, so it didn't get the play that we had hoped, but I remember that distinctly. When he said, we're going to lose this one because the stations have been asked not to play it. And I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but it had something to do with a war.
Even without the airplay that you would have gotten, it still made it to number 16 on the chart. So perhaps with a little bit more airplay, it would have made the top 10. These are the Cordettes, and Lay Down Your Arms.
Come to the station, jump from the train, march at the double sound, Lover's Lane. Then in the glen where the roses entwine, lay down your arms, lay down your arms, lay down your arms and surrender to mine.
My sweetheart is a soldier, as handsome as can be. But suddenly they send him away across the sea. So patiently I waited until his leave was due. Then wrote and said, my darling, I'll tell you what to do. Come to the station, jump from the train. March at the double down Lover's Lane. Then in the glen where the roses entwine. Lay down your arms, lay down your arms. Lay down your arms and surrender to mine. A soldier is a soldier, and when he's on parade, an order is an order and has to be obeyed. You've got to do your duty wherever you may be. And now you're on your orders, so hurry home to me. Come to the station, jump from the train. March at the double down Lover's Lane. Then in the glen where the roses entwine. Lay down your arms, lay down your arms. Lay down your arms and surrender to mine. The girl who loves a soldier is either sad or gay. 'Cause first of all he's with her, and then he's far away. But soldiers have the duty to answer to the call, and that is why I'm calling the loudest of them all. Come to the station, jump from the train. March at the double down Lover's Lane. Then in the glen where the roses entwine. Lay down your arms, lay down your arms. Lay down your arms and surrender to mine.
While that recording was on, I did some crack research, girls, and I got to tell you something. Actually, it really wasn't the reason. Radio stations not playing that record, it was not because of what you said about laying down your arms. It was because of the line, jump from the train. They didn't play it because they felt it would encourage people to jump off of trains. That was the reason. You see,
very good, Ronnie.
That was the real reason they didn't play it. Actually, it was a double whammy. You gave them two reasons not to play it. Well, I always thought it was funny, that record that Patti Page did, Throw Mama from the Train.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. The rest of it is A Kiss, A Kiss.
I wanted to tell you that I just realized I wasn't the lead on that one.
Oh?
Carol was.
Carol will be very happy. She's going to be hearing this interview. So, hi, Carol. This next recording is one of my personal favorites. Of course, I could say that about any one of these. Just between you and me, and I used to always remember snapping my fingers to this. Was that Archie Blyer snapping his fingers on Just Between You and Me?
Oh, we did that.
Oh, you did that.
We did that. I was thinking maybe we used those little crickety things that you snap, when I talked to Carol, she said, no, we did that ourselves.
And you snapped as you were singing, or did you snap later on? Did you multi-track the snaps?
No, we had to do it while we were singing, because, I mean, it came after the certain beats.
These are the singing, snapping gordettes.
Sitting in the sand, ba-da-da-da, we were holding hands, ba-da-da-da, you whispered I love you, just between you and me,
ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da. Graduation, then we'll turn lights pale.
just between you and me, I noticed something as I was listening to that record. Secret is a three-syllable word, sort of. It's a little secret, just very subtle. Am I imagining things, or is that really the way it happened there? Secret.
No, it's right, and it's because we were going into the next note, I think. And that's another thing that was difficult to do, because everybody had to be of the same mind and know what each one was going to do so that it all came out exactly the same. I mean, that wasn't always an easy thing to do. You'd have to really rehearse those different little things that you would do.
How often a week did you rehearse back then? Many hours a week?
Oh, yeah. Archie would call us over to his house, or if we were in the city, over to the studio or to his office, and we'd go over the material. And then after, if we decided we liked the song, then we would get together every day for a few hours and work.
I'm Ronnie Allen, talking to the Chordettes, who, if you want to describe their vocal style, you would say primarily barbershop harmony. You wouldn't really call yourselves a rock and roll group, would you?
No.
Except, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a brief appearance right now by a rock and roll group. They call themselves the Chordosters. That's Chordosters. And here they are with their hit record. Did you ever work with the Chordosters? I understand that they were very good. Those Chordosters were fantastic. Now, wait a minute. That was a brief foray into the rock and roll idiom. Was that on an album or something?
No, it was a 45 we made, the Coasters.
The Coasters.
We covered them.
You sure did. Now, it sounds like the saxophone player is King Curtis on that, the same one
that was
on the Coasters. Very distinctive.
It was. It was on that video that we did, A Girl's Work Is Never Done and No Wheels. Archie was the first one that did that kind of thing, which
right.
is now, what, MTV?
Right, yeah, that's true, MTV.
And King Curtis was on that with us.
King Curtis was a fantastic
musician.
Oh,
my goodness.
He was on all of those Coasters recordings as well as so many others, and he had hits on his own and one of the greatest musicians of all time.
Oh.
And I just had to sneak a little bit of that into the show. No, just because you do one rock and roll song does not make you a rock and roll act. I want to just state that. The Chordettes are not fibbing at all. They are still true to their barbershop harmonies, and they only did that one rock and roll song. Well, actually, they did a song called Lollipop, too, which we're going to get to right now. So this one is sort of rock and roll, too. Kind of, isn't it? Lollipop?
Yeah.
Lollipop?
I thought the only one that put us really in that category.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Lollipop was a song written by Beverly Ross and a gentleman named Julian Dixon.
Dixon, yeah.
Right. Beverly Ross was one half of the duo Ronald and Ruby, and she was not Ronald, so she must have been Ruby. I think they had the original.
Yes.
By about a week or so.
Right.
But your recording of Lollipop got to number 2 on the chart. Margie, were you on Lollipop?
No, I was not. I had left the Chordettes, and Ginny fortunately was able to come back and replace me. So she made Lollipop.
Lynn, anything specific about the Lollipop session?
First off, I didn't really like the song, and I didn't want to do it. I thought that it was kind of beneath us. I just didn't like it. I thought, oh, this isn't the Chordettes at all. But he said, well, he wanted to do it. And so I start out, and when I started to sing, he kept saying, stop everything. He said, just sing it. Just don't think of placing your voice or using your trained voice. Just sing it. Just sing it. So we had to go over it several times because he wanted a raucous sound. And so that's what came out.
Who did the popping sound?
I think, you know, I don't remember whether it was Archie did it. I don't think he did it, or it was one of the group singers in the back, maybe.
Okay, in that case, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud to reveal this for the first time. They didn't know it, but I did the sound on that. That was me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't spread it.
The real reason that I wanted to do this interview show with Chordettes was so that I could finally get this piece of information out to everybody in the world that I was on that record. And it was my only contribution to a hit record.
Well,
now, are you
I'm
interested?
Certainly glad to know that.
Which bridge would you like to buy? The George Washington or the Golden Gate? Let's listen to that great hit right now. These are the Chordettes. And no, really wasn't me, but Lollipop. Some Chordettes videos on YouTube. I believe that.
Yes,
I think that
that's the Germany one.
And that's Andy Williams doing the popping.
Right.
So actually, ladies and gentlemen, it really was not Ronnie Allen doing the popping on that record. It was actually Andy. It might have been Andy Williams. Who knows? Andy Williams was a Cadence recording act.
Mm-hmm.
This next one is called Zorro. It was a TV show, Zorro. Was that Archie's idea to record the theme from Zorro?
Yes, and I have to tell you how they did the Z. I remember when we were in the studio, just tried everything to get that sound, that...
Yeah.
And it ended up being a drumstick on a canvas bass cover. They just ran the drumstick over that, and that's exactly the sound he wanted after having tried everything just to get that sound that he wanted.
Zorro, 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 Zorro.
Now, whenever I hear that recording, I'm going to think of what you just told me, how that sound was made.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ronnie, Archie always tried to get some kind of a gimmicky sound in his recordings, like the whistling, the knee playing, the bell chords. He had spoon playing. And even had a Dudelsack song, which had a bagpipe playing in it. So he always tried to find some kind of a gimmicky sound that would catch people's attention in the recordings.
Do you remember Fifi's Walking the Poodle?
Yes.
He used chicken legs.
Wait a minute, hold on. Forgetting about the chicken legs for a moment, Fifi's Walking the Poodle?
Yes.
This is a Cordettes record?
Yes.
That's right.
Fifi's Walking the Poodle.
Well, I don't even know if it saw the light of day. Apparently it did.
I'm going to have to look for it now. Fifi's Walking
the Poodle.
The Poodle. Who came up with that song?
He did. Okay, he found all the material that he wanted us to do.
I have in my hand the Cordettes 25 All-Time Greatest Recordings. And it's put out by a company called Verisi Saraband. And it says on the front, 25 all-time greatest recordings. You turn to the back, and there are 26. There's a bonus track. And the bonus track is Born to Be With You. That's with me whistling. Okay, not really. But it's a great recording. There's another recording of Cordettes music. Is there not? One of you told me about it during the week.
Of the Real Gold? It's one that was put out not long ago, a company in Holland, and it's 3-CD package, which includes the barbershop that we have done.
Does it include Fifi's Walking the Poodle?
I don't think so.
Okay. This is Ronnie Allen talking with Lynn and Margie of the Cordettes, and I'm looking at the old clock, and that old clock is moving just too fast. We got a couple more recordings. This is one I picked out myself. You know, I asked you what recordings I should play, and we all agreed on certain ones. And I said, I want to play this one no matter what. It is one of my all-time favorite Cordettes recordings. It's called A Broken Vow. It's such a sad song.
It's sad.
It's about a boy and a girl, and there's a vow, and it doesn't come true. And it never became a big hit, but I liked this recording so much that I played it on my very first show at this radio station, which is WNJC. And, of course, I do these interviews for the website, www.jerseygirlsing.com. It's my pleasure to tell you, Lynn, and Margie, that I love this record.
I did hear it on that interview. I don't think it shows off our harmony as well, but if you like it, that's fine.
Okay. Well, we're going to listen to it right now. Of course, Ronnie wanted to hear it. These are the Cordettes and A Broken Vow.
She was a girl of nine. He was just 10. That's when they vowed their love until the end. Years kept on passing by. Vows were still said. But in those teenage years, they couldn't be wed. Oh no, they couldn't be wed. Love was young, and they just knew that by and by all their dreams would come true. She is 21. Strange how love is. This is her wedding day, but it's not his. Oh no, oh no, it isn't his. Was young, and they just knew that by
You had a career with so many records. You did a lot of performances. Either of you, can you think of one maybe unusual story relating to a performance that you can share with us? Any one of you want to raise your hand and tell me who's raising your hand?
Well, this is Marjorie speaking, and this is something we laugh about. We were appearing at the Thunderbird Hotel in Las Vegas, and in our act, we were wearing this very demure outfit of long black skirts and the lacy blouse with the red flower on the shoulder, and then the lights would go out, and then when they came back on, we were to have shed the black skirt, and we would be in this sexy outfit of a patchy skirt and fishnet stockings and high heels, and we were going to do our act of singing on down the east side of Detroit Android and tap dance. But anyway, this time when the lights went out and I went to work on and pull down the zipper of my black long black skirt, the zipper got stuck, so that when the lights came back on, there was the conductor of the band trying to help me unzip the back of my skirt. So that's something.
So they
that
just vamped until
recall.
Ready.
I have one question. Is it on YouTube?
No. That was not in existence then.
My second question is, will it be on YouTube? There are several videos of yours, I believe, on YouTube. Well, there's the one we mentioned with Andy Williams.
And the Everly Brothers.
The Everly Brothers,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah. That's when we did a tour of 8 countries in Europe promoting the Cadence recordings.
Well, I got a big surprise after I get home. I actually have a video of you doing that song, Fifi's Walking the Poodle, and I'm going to put that on YouTube.
You do not either.
I can't even get near the microphone. My nose is so long. I thought you were joking when you said Fifi's Walking the Poodle. I cannot. Can you sing a couple of bars?
Fifi's Walking the Poodle. Fifi's Walking the Poodle.
Oh, that one. We all know that song. You know. Well, Lynn and Margie, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for doing this show with me. Your group has an amazing musical history, and we've walked down memory lane this evening. And
I'm just going to say it's a pleasure to talk with you, Ronnie, and I'm glad you called. It brought back a lot of memories for me, and I really appreciate you doing this.
Yes, that's the way I feel, too.
Where are you both living now, by the way?
I live in Ohio.
Okay.
And I'm in Blooming Grove, New York.
Oh, and where does Carol live?
Sheboygan.
She never got out of Sheboygan?
She went back to Sheboygan.
Oh, she went back to Sheboygan.
Yep.
We're going to close with Never on Sunday, and this is your vocal rendition of a song that was first a hit for Don Costa, theme song from the motion picture Never on Sunday. Were lyrics written to it afterwards, or were they actually part of the song when it was originally written, as far as you know?
I think Archie had something to do with that. Okay. I really don't know if he wrote them.
I'm going to say goodnight to you and goodnight to everybody else with this recording, and thank you once again, Cordettes, for making this evening so special for me. And also,
thank you.
And thank you, Walter, also.
Yes, I was listening.
And for your many fans throughout the world. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Never on Sunday, these are the Cordettes.
Oh, you can kiss me on a Monday, a Monday, a Monday is very, very good. Or you can kiss me on a Tuesday, a Tuesday, a Tuesday, in fact, I wish you would. Or you can kiss me on a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, and Saturday is best. But never, never on a Sunday, a Sunday, a Sunday, 'cause that's my day of rest. Kiss me on a cool day, a hot day, a wet day, whichever one you choose.
try to kiss me on a gray day, a May day, a pay day, and see if I refuse. And if you make it on a bleak day, a freak day, a weak day, well, you can be my guest. But never, never on a Sunday, a Sunday, the one day I need a little rest.
That's the show, and now a couple of bonus tracks by the Chordettes. First, here's Hummingbird.
Hum, 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 hummingbird, hummingbird should be your name.
Hummingbird should be your name.
Too restless to settle, too wild to tame.
Too restless, too wild to tame.
Too restless to settle, too wild to tame. Hummingbird, hummingbird should be your name.
Hum, hum, hum.
Hummingbird, hummingbird winging along.
Hummingbird winging along.
No tender young blossom can hold you for long.
No blossom can hold you for long.
No tender young blossom can hold you for long. Hummingbird, hummingbird winging along.
By the hum, hum of your hummingbird. Hum, 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 hum.
Hummingbird, hummingbird, fly right on by.
Hummingbird, fly right on by.
Some folks like to gamble, but darling, not I.
No, darling, no, darling, not I.
Some folks like to gamble, but darling, not I. Hummingbird, hummingbird, fly right on by.
I'd rather be lonely, I'd rather be blue. Yes, I'd rather spend my whole life without you than feather a nest to be shattered apart
by the hum, hum of your hummingbird. Hum, 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 hum.
By the hum, hum of your hummingbird.
And finally, the Chordettes sing Faraway Star.
Get up where you are. I can get dizzy just looking
pray to his